All right, BradCooney.com. We'd like to welcome to the show hip-hop recording artist Soatly Sean. What is up?
Hey, thank you for having me, man. I'm good.
Yeah, man. Glad you can join us. I appreciate you coming on the show, bro.
Of course. Anytime.
All right, man. So before we get into your latest EP and single, tell the listeners a little bit about you. Like, when was it you first got into making music, and how did it happen?
Sure. I jumped into music about, 10 years old. The first introduction, I would say, when it clicked with me is when I saw one of my favorite artists, J. Cole, his video for Simba.
Mm-hmm.
He was walking in the New York streets, and he was, kind of rapping with his white T-shirt on. And it kind of made me, I really want to do that. So then, that was my first time where I went out on my own and kind of was like, oh, this, I like this kind of music. You know, no parental influence or anything. I just kind of discovered it in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I was like, yeah, I want to make music. I love that feeling it gave me, everything. So that was my first initial time, around 9 or 10, I would say.
So when did it transition from just enjoying, when did you actually pull the trigger and get into the studio and actually start recording music?
Yeah, it took me from that age of 9 and 10, because I was always trying to write it and do it, but when I started really lock in, try to take it more seriously, it was around the 14, freshman year of high school, and then 16, 17 is when I started going to the studio,
nice.
Really, really trying to get to the studio.
Now, when you were in high school, was there any talent shows, or did you get into music at all in high school?
Yeah, so there was so many times growing up, I was so painfully shy, and I was very protective of the stuff I would write, mm-hmm. or the stuff I would rap to. So I mean, it was a lot of missed opportunities, with talent shows and stuff like that. I would sign up, not show up. I would get there and then see other people, and I'm like, I'm not good enough.
Yeah,
it would be a lot of those. So it wasn't until that's why I said it wasn't until 17, when I was 16, when I started going to the studio and I started building that confidence,
mm-hmm.
That I started stepping out more and performing in front of people, little get-togethers and stuff, just rocking in front of my friends or whatnot,
mm-hmm.
and, just building that confidence.
Now, was there a moment you could put your finger on, when you had that validation where somebody said, hey, man, you're really good, you need to stay on this? Was there a moment like that, or did you just kind of gradually build that confidence and it just kind of happened?
No, it was a little bit of both, but I will say it was this moment in the studio that I always go back to where one of the first times I remember paying attention and hearing my voice back. And I remember everybody was just on me, it's cool, but you got to do this, that, and the third. And naturally, since I was so reserved and stuff about my music, it just made any other normal thing, if that would have happened for anything else, I probably would have been I can't do this.
Mm.
But what in my head, when it started clicking, is when I started saying, oh, they think I can't do this? Okay, let me try. I know it's in me. Let me do this. Let me work hard at it. So when that mindset flipped in the studio that day, where I heard my voice back and I got that feedback of I don't know if this is for you, that's when I started locking in. So it kind of was the opposite reaction. When I was no, I could do this. Yeah,
so you use whatever negative, you use that as an inspiration to say, oh, hold my beer. Hold my beer.
Right.
We're about to get this on the road here.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. That makes a lot of sense. All right, so let's talk about this latest project you got out. You have an EP drop called Day by Day. First, before we get to the singles that are on it, talk about the title, Day by Day. Is there a backstory to that? And how many tracks are on the EP?
For sure. So there's 5 songs on there, and then Day by Day is just kind of taking things day by day. Mm-hmm. That's the way the title came. I had a couple of titles I was working with, but that one just felt the most cohesive to the project. And it was just it just kind of fit. And then I chose 5 songs because I like 5 songs, and then there's a 5-day work week,
mm-hmm.
which also kind of flip. It's so many layers and things that
mm-hmm.
I don't want to give away too much, but yeah, the day by day thing, definitely came about by just taking everything day by day, or you pushing through day by day, and
mm-hmm.
Just one step at a time, for sure.
Yeah, so I listened to the single stand-in, and we'll get more into that in just a second. But what I was really impressed, other than the song itself, which is really good, by the way, was the production. So can you talk about the production at all? Like where did you mix it at? Did you have a producer, a go-to person?
Yeah, so I made the beats myself, and then the mixing and stuff was primarily handled by my engineer, Danny. Shout out to Danny, because Danny does great, great work. Mm-hmm. Danny, he works for Lost Studios, and he's on engineer. Definitely highly recommend booking him for any session if you can. We worked together on a lot of stuff, and he also helps push me to, like, be creative and things like that.
Nice.
And it takes so much off of me when it allows me to be more creative with my beats and with ideas. When I'm able to just focus on like the creation of the beats, I might do some minor mixing here, and Danny can come in and really bring it to life. Mm-hmm. So definitely shout out to Danny. And I would say the production itself was like, it kind of really stems from just like my previous project and just building upon that, but also more so incorporating environmental elements. Like at the beginning of Standing, there's an ocean that comes kind of crashing in, and then on the song The Soul, there's thunder and sounds like that. So just adding like little elements like that, mm-hmm. to create more of an experience rather than just a beat.
Yeah,
it's like those are like really big things when I was like making this project.
So you said you make your own beats, which is good, because that's also like sometimes beats can get pricey, so the fact that you make your own beats is a little helpful, you know, as far as the money goes.
Right.
Yeah, that's good. All right, so this song Stand is the outro, it's the EP outro, it's the last song on the EP.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. You also, you have some vocals, I noticed. You can sing too, can't you?
Yeah, I got a little bit of something on there. We're working on it, but yeah.
Don't be hiding that. Don't be staying shy now. Yeah, I can tell, man. I can tell. I mean, you didn't like go full fledged sing, but I heard enough, and I was like, oh, wait a second now. What's this cat doing? I think he got some vocals behind his rapping.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that would be on the song, no doubt.
Yeah,
I was. I wrote that, and it kind of just focused on like my mom's experience with the 9-to-5.
Gotcha.
And it took me, that song was probably the song I went back and did, rewrote a bunch of times just to try to, like, perfectly capture something so dense but make it as simple as possible.
Yeah.
Because it's obviously layered in the sense of, like, I try, like, especially when I do writing, I try not to, like, chastise anybody for a decision.
That's smart. That's good.
And I try not to, I just try to present the situation and people can pull from it what they want to pull from it and what's right and what's wrong for them. So, you know, yeah. But yeah, no, yeah, I definitely wanted to like really take that risk and try to like, you know, sing a little bit more.
Uh-huh. I heard it. I caught it. Is there a video? Did you guys shoot a video for Standing?
No, but we're definitely looking into like shooting videos for Standing,
yep.
Other songs on the project, and then new music too. For sure. We want some more visual pieces. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good, man. Your videos are pricey, too. As I mean, they're great, and they help promote for sure, man, but they ain't cheap. You know?
They're not, yeah.
Especially if you want to do a good one. For me, to my philosophy is if you can afford it, it's better to pay for the quality than to try 100%. To cut corners and put something out kind of like half cheesy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so that's cool. So let's talk about a couple of the individual songs. Of course, we talked about Standing. Well, you know what? We didn't really get into the whole backstory of Standing, though, have we? I mean, like what the whole meat, the whole premise of the song is?
Yeah, for sure. And, yeah, I definitely, like, so with that song in particular being the outro, it kind of just ties in all the themes, mm-hmm. of, like, what I was trying to capture of just being, just persevering. And, you know, you get hit, you get back up, you're still standing. Like, you know, so that song, actually, that wasn't originally going to be the outro. It was going to be another song that I still have. And I originally was going to do 6 tracks, but I took it. I just wanted that 5 because mm-hmm. I just felt like 5 was perfect. So Standing came about, like, I wrote it, like, within, like, the last week of just, like, recording the project. And that felt like the perfect exclamation point or bow, if you will, on the project, because it just, you know, I opened up the song with rent, due, need food, what's new. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, it kind of captures every other song before it. And then also just ties in the themes of like, you know, no matter what, we still standing. You know, we gonna get through this. You know, kind of, that's the kind of energy I wanted to bring, for sure.
Now, is the intro, is that song called Still? Is that the intro?
Yep. That is, yep.
Okay, cool. Now let me ask, before we get into to the other singles, what is your writing process? Do you ever have like lyrics first, and then you make a beat to go with those lyrics, or do sometimes you hear a melody first and then you put lyrics to that?
Yeah, no, that was a perfect call out. Yeah, that is pretty much it varies from song to song. Mm-hmm. I will say, like, with this project, I did take more of a melody approach first, mm-hmm. but on a regular basis, it's been plenty of times where I had the lyrics first. I think even with like songs like I think Tonight, I had different, like that song is a perfect example of me coming up with the melody first, then putting the words, and then like another a more melodic song like No Doubt, I had the words and I had to trim the words down and then make it fit into the melody and go with where I wanted to go. So it really, but definitely like the majority of the time when I was making this project, it was kind of like melody first. Because I was making the production while I was dealing with a lot of the words. But yeah, the writing process can just vary.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Now, how much does your mood impact the type of song you write? I mean, like when you're feeling really up in life and bouncy, everything's clicking, do you find yourself writing more inspirational, like positive type songs? And the same thing if you're feeling kind of down, because all of us have little ruts we go through in life. Does that kind of drive the type of song you're wanting to write if you're feeling down to more of a somber type song? Does it matter at all?
That's a great question. From what I've noticed, at least, I know like when I'm down or in a rut, I try to make something that I need to hear.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense of like this project, that's how it came about, or songs like Still and Standing, like those came down to like just being in a rut and kind of making something that I would want somebody to tell me.
Mm.
So it's, yeah, I would say my mood kind of, I think it does, but I think more so like, I know like, noticed at least recently where if I'm down, I'm not trying to make more music to make me feel down. I'm trying to make something that like helps me get out of it.
Got it.
Because that's like, you know, that's one of the reasons why I write, to like express myself and get that, and get like certain feelings and emotions off.
Yeah, I think that's good, and I think it's also smart to write both songs that are because basically what I'm saying is people love music that they can relate to, and everybody can relate to being down, and everybody can relate to being up. You know, so if you cover both, you're gonna hit your target somewhere along the line.
Exactly, what I think of it. Exactly.
Yeah, you know. All right, so the other songs, there's one No Doubt, and then there's a song called The Soul. I'm interested about that one. And then the other one's called Tonight. And we talked about Standing and the other one. So touch on it a little bit about each of those backstories for the No Doubt and then The Soul and Tonight.
Sure, yeah. So with The Soul, I'll say, like, The Soul is like the play-by-play. And it comes in the middle of the project. And that's like the play-by-play is like specifically how I was feeling, what I was going through,
mm-hmm.
When I made the project. That was the first song I actually wrote for the project. And it was... that was another song where I was like, I don't know if I'm going to put this on here, but because it's just rapping, it's not like any chorus. But then I'm like, it's kind of needed, kind of ties everything together, and it just goes from explaining about how I was over-optimistic on one thing, I thought I had enough money for something, and it didn't work out, and it crashed in my face, and people telling me it was going to help me, and then they backed out, and all of those different things. So it kind of just details that experience, mm-hmm. over... one of my favorite beats that I made, and that's probably my favorite song, personal favorite. And then, like, with a song like Tonight kind of explains the relationship me and my girlfriend have of just kind of being there for one another through financial difficulties and tough times in life in general, and understanding that, like, similar to the theme of the song, is, like, nobody's going to help you unless you help yourself, and you got to get up for somebody. So, like, even if you're tired and you can't get up for yourself, you know, you got your significant other there that you're like, all right, come on, I got to go to this job, even though I hate it. I got to go make this play, even though I hate it. So, That, you know, that in itself is that's our favorite song. I love that. I love that song a lot too. And then No Doubt was just that that song about like my mom, her experience with that 9-to-5, and like her initial issues, and like really just saying like, I don't care if this job like kills me, I'm gonna make sure my son and all my bills are paid. And later projects, I talk about like songs that I haven't put out yet, songs that I recorded. It kind of, we go more deeper into that idea of like really putting your health at jeopardy for working for someone else, and what that looks like, you know, whether it's a bad or good thing is up to anybody, but what that looks like and what were the causes of doing that. So yeah, like No Doubt is probably one of the songs that I was really skeptical about at first, but I ended up putting that on there because I felt like it had a good message. So
yeah, I think that song will resonate with a lot of people, especially with moms and especially in families who may have had just a you know, not a dad around. Maybe in my case, you know, I my mom died when I was really young, so it was just my dad, and so I grew up in a one parent household, so I kind of can relate, you know what I mean? But there's a lot of people out there who don't have dads or they don't have moms, so something like that song will probably resonate with them.
Yeah, for sure.
What does your name mean, Soltley? Tell the listeners what that. I know it's an acronym, but share that with the listeners out there what that means.
Yeah, for sure. So Soltley just stands for someone out there loves you, and just so. And then I always add the little thing at the end, so just keep going. And that pretty much was something that I made. It started out for myself, and then it just kind of resonated. So I was like, oh, that's a good message for people to just know. It's like, you know, whether it be your father, your mother, sister, brother, somebody has helped you get to this point. You know, we all aren't, even if they're no longer with us, somebody has helped you get to the point you are in your life right now. Mm-hmm. So they, at one point, they wanted to see you win. Like, one thing, I forgot who said it, but life is not a solo trip. It's a shared experience, meaning everybody kind of builds off of everybody.
Yeah,
so
true.
It's that idea, the someone out there loves you, comes from that. So even if it was just somebody giving you food just because you were hungry one time, or somebody helping you out with like a little bit of money and you never see them again, or whatever the case may be, that person out there wants to see you win, even on a micro level. So it's just always important to keep that in the back of your mind. I do that all the time where I get down, and just keep that, like, yo, somebody cares about me, somebody invested in me financially, emotionally, whatever. So I gotta keep going. I gotta go make this thing. I gotta go save this. I gotta go extra hard when I'm doing something.
How old are you?
I'm 25.
You're older than your years, and I mean that in the positive way. No, I can just tell by listening to you. I can tell you're not a selfish person. I can tell that you care about others, and you look outward. And I can tell you look inward too. You just have a real good head on your shoulders, man. I can tell.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean that. And it resonates with your music, and it resonates with the type of songs that you sing. You have great messages, and that's good, man. I mean, the world needs more young men like you in the world, especially you're sharing your wisdom at a young age already, and that's good. It's a testament to you, man. So shout out to you for that.
Appreciate it.
All right, so a couple more things and we'll let you go. What are some goals you have since we've flipped into a new year here, still early in 2024? What are some goals you have for your musical career? What do you want to get done over the next year or so?
Yeah, I definitely want to. The big things for me right now is just solidifying that core fan base, connecting with as many people as I can, and spreading that message, and then getting out and starting to just perform a lot more. Test the songs out, like in a performance atmosphere, because something might sound good, you know, sonically when you're in your headphones, but I also want to just see how it sounds when, and just see people's reaction as well to the songs, you know, on that, you know, I presented to them on me. Because, you know, it's one thing, like, making music in the studio is one thing, but performing it is a whole different other beast.
Yeah.
Getting those reactions kind of help. I don't want to say it should dictate how you make music, but at the end of the day, music is for entertainment and consumption. So you want to make sure that, you know, my friend used to tell me this a lot, and he would just say, I'm like, you know, you don't want to, back to the idea of chastising people when you're making songs. Like, you don't want to just make a song like, this is right and you shouldn't be doing this, and nobody wants to hear that. So when you're making music, it's important for you to even perform it, whether it's in front of friends, whether it's in front of open mics, whatever, to just get that, just to feel like what people's energy towards it. See if this is something you should keep going and doing, for sure. So definitely performing and just solidifying a core fan base, making sure that I'm connecting with as many people as possible.
Yeah, that's smart. I think it's smart. You want to build a ground game. It's like you said, studio's great. You know, yes, you got to do it. You got to get in the studio. You got to put stuff out there on your Spotify's and iTunes and all that stuff. But building a ground game is important too. And I'll give you an example. Going back maybe 6 months ago, I had a hip hop artist that was scheduled to come on my show, and he didn't show up. He was a no call, no show. So I emailed his PR people, and I said, hey, I was scheduled to interview at 6 o'clock, and they emailed me back, and they said, oh, he had a really something that came up at the last second. He had a chance to open up for, I can't remember the artist, but it was a signed artist. It was a really pretty famous hip hop artist who had a record deal, the whole nine. And he said he had an opportunity to open up for that artist. And I was like, oh, that's cool. So I was totally cool doing a reschedule, you know what I mean? Because that was important to this kid's career, you know, to be able to open up. So what I'm getting to is they found that kid because this big-name guy, and I apologize, I'm losing, I can't grasp the guy's name right now, but they were looking for somebody to open up for him in I think it was Charlotte, North Carolina. And so what they did is they researched and they said, all right, who's hot in that area? Who's selling out the clubs? You know, who,
right.
So they found the guy that I talked to, and they said, all right, this dude, you know, and that's what happens. So somebody who has a signed record deal is really famous. They have a manager, and that manager's job is to research that kind of stuff to find out who's going to fill seats also. You know what I mean? So that's what you need to do. You need to build that ground game, and when you get ready to get out there, when you have a big enough catalog where you can go out there and put on a full show, and start building that ground game and put on a good show, and really, if you can start putting what they call asses in the seats, pardon my French, but that helps you when you get the bigger name artists that come through and you're looking for someone, you know, and that could be your opportunity, you know, to get to that next level. So very important to build that ground game.
Right.
I didn't mean to go on a preaching thing, but I like to try to mentor.
No, I appreciate that, bro. Definitely.
One other piece of advice, and then we'll wrap this up. Have you researched college radio stations?
I have looked at. I've been getting like ads and stuff, and then one of my boys was actually telling me about it. They put your song on there for free. He was telling me about it, I think last night, actually. We were talking about a little bit about it, which is crazy.
A lot of colleges have radio stations, and it's easier to get spins through colleges than it is mainstream radio. So that's one thing to research, like in your area. Like, were you in New York? Where are you at?
New York, Brooklyn.
Yeah, you're in Brooklyn. So, yeah, there's a lot of colleges all over the city area, outside, even in Westchester County. There's a lot of colleges, you know what I mean, in the surrounding areas. And just dig in there and see which colleges have radio stations, and just go bang on doors and make calls. And a lot of times they'll spin your stuff for free. I mean, without even anything, they'll just spin it.
Right.
And then word of mouth spreads. Hey, man, who's this dude, man? Who's Saltley, man? We need to check him out. You know? And then the mainstream radio stations might be like, yo, who's making all that noise on the college radio station level? Who is that dude?
Right.
What's going on with this guy? Anything you can do to get the radar, to get on radar, man, to get yourself on the radar, that's what you need to do.
I agree.
All right, so I think that's about, at this point of the interview, I always like to ask the artists if there's anything that you want to promote that I didn't get to, that I missed, that we can talk about before we wrap it up.
I think we hit everything. We even hit the meaning of Saltley. I always like to give that.
Oh, cool.
So that's perfect. I always just like to say at the end, like, you know, always go follow me on Instagram.
Yeah.
I'm on Instagram, Soty Sean, S-O-T-L-Y, Sean. And then DMs is open for questions, collaborations, anything like that. And then, I just like to tell people, especially younger kids that I would talk to as well, is just to, you know, keep going. You survived every worst day you think you had. You're going to have more worst days. Mm-hmm. And just find that reason to keep going, whether it's your mother, pops, whoever. Teacher that believed in you, auntie, whatever. Just find that reason to keep going, because somebody really out there really, really wants to see you win, for sure.
That's what's up, man. Great stuff. I appreciate you very much for coming on the show. Very talented. Everybody out there listening to this, definitely support Soty Sean. New EP is called Day by Day. There's 5 great songs on there, so support them. Follow them. I appreciate you coming on. And if there's anything else you got want to talk about down the road a piece, some new stuff, just let us know. We'll get you back on.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you for having me.
Absolutely. Enjoy talking to you. I'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon, man.
Take care.